I'm gonna start off with a story that changed my life. So just over like a year and a half, 2 years ago, I got this email from an organization that we support called Christ for All Nations. It was a prayer breakfast in Anaheim. I got the email and you know what I did? I swiped it away. I was like, boop, there it goes. And then like the next day I was in my room, no one was home, it was just me. And the thought came to mind, open that email. And I was like, all right, I'm gonna open the email and check it out. So I open the email and I'm reading about this prayer breakfast, this prayer conference that happened in Anaheim. And I just start weeping. I just start weeping. I'm not like a big crier, like too much, but I just start like weeping. And after I finish the email and I'm like weeping, I'm like, we're supposed to be at this thing. We're supposed to be at this conference. So when I got home, I like told the whole thing. I was like, oh, crying. Like, we need to be at this prayer breakfast. So she's like, okay. So I signed us up for it. And that was like in November, December. And then it was in January. And that was when Meredith and I started our 40-day Daniel fast together, that God will prepare us and prepare the way for the church plant. So we signed up for this prayer conference. And there's like hundreds of people there. It's pretty cool. And God gave us this crazy favor. Like, we got like front row seats with like the like a VIP table with all these executive leaders, like international leaders. We got like behind the scenes thing. We got to talk with people. And we're like, I don't know how this happened, but God was just giving us this cool favor. And then as we're there, we're learning about what God is doing throughout the nations as people coming to Jesus. So this is where it all comes together for me. What they're going to do at the end of that is they're going to pray over everyone. They're going to do a prayer of impartation. And I knew that God wanted us there for this very moment, because the leader of that, Daniel Kalinda, is one of the strongest international evangelists. And I really wanted him to pray for me and pray for Meredith. So I talked about impartation. I lined up everybody all the way around this giant room. And he just comes by and he does this. He goes by every person and he puts his hand on their forehead and he just says the word fire and he touches them. And that's it. He goes down the line. And when he gets to me, puts his hand on my forehead and he says fire. And I went to the ground. I've never really gone to the ground before when I've been prayed for. But I knew when that happened, I'm going to be a changed person. So I got up off the ground eventually. And I was like, I know something happened. The Holy Spirit did something. And from that point forward, God gave me this fire and this zeal to share the gospel with people, to share Jesus with people. So this prayer changed my life, and it totally gave me this changed internal me to say, I want to share Jesus with as many people as I can. So when I got prayed for, I got the fire and the zeal of God that got in my spirit, and it's been growing and growing ever since. So as we all read the word in our Discovery Bible study time, we looked at Acts 2:42-47. And in this context, the 10 conditions that God has given us as a church to be a Mark 420 church, which is a 30, 60, 100-fold church, a multiplying church, he says to us, pray for numerical growth. Pray for numerical growth. Because if we're not praying for people to come to know Jesus, we're going to be stagnant. But if we're praying for people to come to know Jesus, more and more people will come to know him. So the context of all this is Pentecost just happened in Acts chapter 2. So Jesus said, hey, go into Jerusalem and wait, because I'm going to send the promised Holy Spirit. So they're waiting and they're waiting and they're waiting. And all of a sudden, when they're waiting all together in this room, the Holy Spirit comes in, blows in like this huge whirlwind. Think like a hurricane wind comes in there, hits this place. And then if you were sitting here and you looked at everybody across from you, and all of a sudden they had fire over their head, you would think that's a little different. That's what happened there. They received the baptism of the Spirit and the baptism of fire, and it radically changed them, because then they started speaking in other types of languages that they had never studied before, that everyone else that had come from the entire known world at the time to come to Jerusalem, they understood what was being said by them in their own language. So that would be like George over here, if he started speaking Chinese, and over here, Nate, he started speaking, I don't know, what don't you speak? Anything else? Okay. So like another language, right? And it would be like, but then other people would understand what they were saying. Like if he started speaking some Filipino languages and some like dialects and stuff, and then JR's like, I know what he's saying, right? And he's like, how did you know that? That's the Holy Spirit that's enabling them to speak in other languages. So they received the baptism of the Spirit, the baptism of fire. Right after that, Peter preaches a sermon, and it says 3,000 people were added to that time. Can you imagine thousands of people hearing the gospel? Do you know what you need to make that happen? You need the fire of God to come upon your life. You need the zeal of God in you to be able to operate in that way. It's the Holy Spirit that gives you the power. So let's look at the blueprint for God's discipleship in verse 42. It says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, and the sharing of meals, including the Lord's Supper and a prayer. So this is God's blueprint for discipleship. So if you had to define discipleship, it's simply this. It's growing in commitment and obedience to Jesus. So discipleship is growing in commitment and obedience to Jesus. So you can see they got in the Word. They had fellowship. They hung out together in Jesus' name. They had food and communion, the Lord's Supper, and they had prayer. So this reflects what we do here at Enrich Church. We have a similar model, but structured a little bit differently. So y'all know we gather here on Sunday mornings in Jesus' name to worship Jesus, right? And we get in the Word. So we have our Discovery Bible study. And the idea behind that is we are training everybody to learn how to get in the Word for themselves and to be able to know God through reading the Word. So we want to train you that through the rest of the week, every day you can get in the Word and know Jesus more. Man, we hang out, you know, it says online we start at 10. People are like, show up, like, I'm late. It's like 10:20. I'm, no, you're right on time. The reason we actually have that gap time is because if you notice, everybody hangs out and talks. And we're talking about life. Like, some people are talking about real stuff going on in their life. Some people are just shooting the breeze. But we're all having fellowship together because we're gathering in Jesus' name. So it's so intentional. I'll be honest with you. I'm like an on-time guy. So when, like, we weren't starting at 10 in the beginning of this whole thing, I'm like, we need to start at 10. But then I feel like the Lord is like, this is the purpose of you gathering. Like, is to hang out and to know each other and to do life together. And y'all know we do food at least twice a month. It'll be once this month, but we usually have food here. We come bring it on Sundays, or we usually go somewhere and eat. And the idea is that every culture in the world eats food. Every culture. No, really. Every culture, food brings people together. And the idea that was getting the scriptures that we do too is when you have food together, you hang out and you talk and you do life together. Enjoy each other's company. We do communion, the Lord's Supper. So on usually the fourth Sunday of the month, we do that together. We celebrate Jesus' death on the cross and reflect on that because of what he's done for us. And it says they gather to pray. Man, we pray so much at Enrich Church. Prayer is kind of, it is the foundation. It is the DNA of who we are and what we do. Prayer is simply relationship with Jesus, hearing his voice and talking with him. So our model fits into that Sunday, right? That's when we gather for what we call our training center. So everything is built here to train you to be a disciple and follow Jesus. And for those of you that want to go deeper, we have Discovery Bible studies that meet during the week. Like, we have a women's group that meets during the week. A bunch of moms get together, they study the Word, they talk about life, and they're real, and they pray, and they're seeing Jesus transform them. Super powerful. We also have our discipleship foundations and our Healed and Made Whole discipleship. This is when you get in to learn what's the basics of following Jesus, and you study the Word together in those, and then you go through Healed and Made Whole. This is when Jesus cleans the mess out of your life. How many of y'all got mess inside of your soul? How many aren't raising your hand? Everyone pretty much raised their hand, right? We all have brokenness to some extent, right? But Jesus wants to heal and resolve the emotional and spiritual issues that we have so we can be set free, fill his Spirit in the Word, and go and make disciples and be disciple makers. Because here's the whole goal of everything I've just shared with you. The vision that God has given us is to multiply disciples, churches, and leaders. So the idea is that you are a disciple maker. That when you're a believer in Jesus, you are called to make disciples. Literally, you are doing life on life with people who are interested, and you help them grow in their commitment and their obedience to Jesus. And then from that, you naturally will plant churches. So as you're leading people to Jesus and you're starting Discovery Bible studies and discipling people, you're going to see churches come together. And then lastly, you're going to see leaders raise up who are going to be leading a movement that God is going to start. So this was the process that God took the new church through at the beginning of his birth in Acts chapter 2. And this is the same model that we'll have together. So look at verse 43 right here. A deep sense of awe came over all of them, and the apostles performed miraculous signs and wonders. Now, how many of y'all ever seen signs and wonders before? Like legit miracles and stuff like breaking out like that? I'll tell you one real quick so you know they're real. This is a couple years ago. I was in Mexico painting a house with a small missions team, and we were right on the coast. And there was this huge storm coming in from like literally as far as you could see on the coastline. And there's a huge sheet of rain coming in. And I'm like, man, this is going to mess up our paint job. So I said, everyone get together. We're going to pray. So we did. We started praying. and we started commanding those clouds to part. Because guess what's above every rainstorm? A blue sky. So it depends on your perspective, right? So we started commanding those clouds to part and to break apart so we could paint. This was the one of the craziest things I've ever seen. I was looking in the sky, and the clouds literally began to part around us, and blue sky appeared over us, and the rain went around us. That's a sign and a wonder, right? But here, there's a purpose for it. It's because we needed to paint that house, because the people that owned that house, they didn't know Jesus, and the missionary there was working with that family. So if we couldn't paint the house, it would have interrupted what God wanted to do. So we simply prayed in the name of Jesus. Jesus answered our prayer, split the sky, so he could continue his work to advance the gospel. So these signs and wonders that when you pray in Jesus' name, the signs and wonders are not the end goal. They are simply a means to an end, because it supports church growth. It supports the health of the church and the strengthening of the church. And ultimately, it confirms the gospel. Because if you go and pray for someone and they get healed, and then you tell them about Jesus, or you tell them about Jesus and then they get healed, do you think they're more likely to believe that Jesus is real if they get healed? Absolutely. I've seen that happen time and time again. So hear me with this. There are several of you here that have spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit has given you to walk in healing and miracles and signs and wonders. You have the gift of faith, and that God wants you to use those gifts. The only way you can know if you have those gifts is by practicing. So when you see an opportunity present itself in front of you, like someone has a bodily injury or is sick or there's something going on in their life, hey, can we pray for you right now? Hey, let's do this, let's pray. Can I place a hand on your shoulder? Can I pray for you? All right, now test it out, right? So when you step out in faith and obedience to Jesus, to live out the word of God, you're gonna discover, oh, the Holy Spirit has given me these gifts to give to people. Because remember, gifts are never for the giver. The gifts are for the people who receive them. So when you have a gift, it's literally meant to be given away. If you give away what God gives you, what does he always do? He multiplies. If you give what God gives you, you never run out. It always keeps refilling, and it actually overflows. So I want to challenge you and encourage some of you that when you come up against impossible situations where there needs to be a sign, wonder, or miracle, pray. Just simply pray and believe that Jesus will do what he says he's going to do, and trust him. So look at verses 44 through 46. This is about cultivating the right culture. And all the believers met together in one place, and they shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met at home for the Lord's Supper, and they shared with meals with great joy and generosity. Man, isn't that a people you want to be a part of? Like, isn't that a crew you want to join? Imagine the unity and the generosity. How many of y'all have needs here? Anyone have a need in their life? Imagine if you were sharing your needs, which I hope you do, if you were sharing your needs and someone's like, hey, I can meet your need, right? Well, someone before shared something over here and I said, hey, let me know, I can help you with that. Or someone has a financial need and you're sharing it and you have extra resources, hey, I can help you with that. Not enabling them with you know, unhealthy habits with finances, but there's like a legit need, like someone has a need, meet that need. Or someone's like, hey, I just need time to like hang out with someone this week. Your time is your resource. Hey, I can hang out with you, you wanna go do something. So think about needs that you have, and if you verbalize them, my hope is that in our community at Enrich, we're willing to meet each other's needs and to make sacrifices. Like we were talking with Sandra in our DBS before this, and man, she could have come up here and just given the message, it was so good. She was saying about how she's learning how she has to sacrifice these things in her life to pursue Jesus and to do what he wants her to do and to live for him and to help other people. And I was like, literally, that's the articulation of what this is. So we have to sacrifice personally for other people. And man, if we all did that together, imagine the strength and the unity and the generosity. And they all gathered together to worship at the temple. We do it at the park, right? So we gather in Jesus' name. And then it says, then they met in homes. So they had a large gathering and they had smaller gatherings. So they met in homes. This is the life-on-life discipleship. This is that Discovery Bible study, the Foundations, Healing, and Whole pieces I talked about. So if you want to get plugged in and go deeper, this is where life on life happens, and Jesus brings his power and he transforms you and he transforms the people that you get to minister to. So you know what you need in those homes is leaders. So God is looking for leaders. He's literally looking for leaders because he says the harvest is huge. It's ripe and plentiful, but there's not enough workers. He's looking for leaders who are saying, I will step in, Jesus. I hear your call. I'm willing to do this. So God is wanting leaders to emerge in and through Enrich Church. And here's what God is looking for. It's simply this. Are you willing? Are you willing? Are you willing to give up your life, your time, your resources, your very self to say, Jesus, I'm willing to lead in your kingdom? And to do this, you have to surrender and live for God's kingdom rather than your own. You have to give up your own kingdom, your own life, your own doing your own thing. And you say, Jesus, here it is. I'm willing to lay it down. Because a leader is defined in Rich Church is someone who's discipling 2 to 3 people individually, or you've started 1 to 3 groups for discipleship. When you hit that, then you're a leader. Because leader isn't based upon a title, a position, or a gift, or how cool you look with your fit. It is, who are you impacting tangibly? Who are you discipling? Because Jesus said, go and make disciples, and that is what leadership is. We had communion and food together, right? That's what they said there too. We do that as well. So that is what's going to cultivate the right culture for this, for Jesus to add numbers to the church. So let's look at verse 47. All the while praising God, enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. All right, how many of you believe in Jesus that are here? Right, most people, yeah, everyone here, right? Most everyone. Imagine before Jesus. Like, imagine your life before Jesus. Imagine where you were going before Jesus. You were literally going on the direction of hell, the huge wide path that says most people are going there because they don't want to surrender to Jesus. And now think about how much he's changed your life since you've gotten to know him. What he's done in your heart, what he's done in your family, what he's done in your jobs. Like, he's radically transformed you. Jesus wants you to take what he's done in you, and he wants you to give it away. Because remember, when you give away what he gives you, he always multiplies it. He always gives more than enough. So he literally has called you to go and make disciples. This means that you go and tell people about Jesus, and you train them in the Word of God. You help them to grow in commitment and obedience. This is literally the apex of following Jesus. This is it. This is literally what we are all called to do. And so praise and favor with people led to the Lord adding to their fellowship those who are being saved. So Jesus wants you to disciple other people and help get them saved too. But notice it's the Lord who's the one who gets them saved. Our role is simply to share Jesus, share the gospel with people, and give them an invitation. And we literally, Jesus is saying, arc your entire life towards this. So Jesus wants more people to come to Enrich because he wants them to get saved. He wants their lives to be filled with his love, his power, his presence, his fire, and his zeal, and that they would then go and reach their whole families, and they would go and then do this with many other people. Because at the end of the day, here's how it works. Healthy things grow and reproduce. If something isn't healthy, it isn't growing and reproducing, it dies. That's how creation is. It ultimately, if bunnies stopped reproducing, bunnies would die. Someone talked about bunnies earlier. That's what just came to mind. So, right, then they'll go extinct. In the same way, if the sheep, right, the people of God are not reproducing, the church will go extinct. So literally, Jesus says, go and make disciples. Reproduce what I've done in you and do it in others. So here's how it applies to us. Things that we need to pray for to see God do this. We need to pray that Jesus, and you can write these down if you want, Jesus to add growth to us at a healthy, sustainable pace. Because I can't disciple everyone. I can disciple maybe like, I don't know, 12 is Jesus's number. I'm around there right now, and of a mentorship and things like that kind of factor into that in some ways, right? But at some point, I'm going to hit my barrier, my capacity. And that's why God is looking for you to be a leader in his kingdom, to say, will you disciple other people? Because the idea is if I'm discipling, X amount of people, the idea is that then they start discipling X amount of people. Then they start discipling X amount of people. That's how God will add growth. So we need to pray for Jesus to add healthy, sustainable growth. Also, pray for a culture of hospitality, outreach, invitation. I think one of our greatest strengths is hospitality here at Enrich. Because y'all just keep talking when I try and bring you together. Like, it's great. I love it. Because everybody's talking and engaging about life and really going deep together. The hospitality, outreach. We do our seed sower training once a month at the Covina Farmers Market, where we've met some cool people, have gotten connected with us through the Farmers Market. And we're out there just want to share about Jesus. And come gather in his name and be filled by his spirit, his love, and his power. Get to know some people who care about you and want to get involved in your life and walk with you. A culture of invitation, right? So you're inviting people. Hey, come check out this church. It's pretty cool. We meet at a park. hey, come on the day we bring food, when we have food and when we do lawn games, that's the best day to come, right? Invite people. Oh, you're inviting people to your house to get to know them, having meals with them, starting Discovery Bible Study in your house and inviting your neighbors or your friends and your family. And lastly, like, we need to pray that we have hearts to minister and serve where there's capacities needed. Because if we don't serve, then nothing grows. But God wants you to step into the gifts He's given you, your natural gifts and your spiritual gifts, so that you can then serve and build His body, and that Jesus could expand the amount of people who know Him. So I'm gonna give a little bit of a challenge here. So you got to get Jesus' vision in your heart. You got to get Jesus' vision in your heart. This comes through surrender and obedience. Because you have to die to the vision that you have for yourself, you have for your life, the kingdom that you want to build through your job or whatever it is that you want to do your own thing. You got to die to it. You got to get Jesus' vision in your heart. This means that your vision has to be displaced to receive the Jesus vision that He has for your life. I can tell you that planning a church was one of the things that was never on my mind. When Jesus said, hey, I want you to plant a church, you know what I had to give up? I had to give up a salary. I had to give up my housing. I had to give up health benefits, retirement benefits. I had to give up utilities. I had to give up a stable career. I had to give up everything. I literally walked away from like the American dream life, right? I literally walked away to, I didn't know how any of that was going to come into place for us. I had no idea. But Jesus says, if you give up your life, you give up all these things for Him and for the gospel, He repays you 100-fold this life and the life to come, and also with persecution, right? So you're going to have hardship when you follow Jesus, but He always overcomes. He always overcomes. And this is where you need the fire and zeal of God. The fire, when you learn about John the Baptist, Jesus says he's going to baptize with fire. He talks about He burns away the chaff. So I can guarantee you this, everybody sitting here today, you have chaff in your life. I can say that because I do too. I have things in my life that distract me and keep me from being 100% all in for Jesus. You remember when that guy put his hand on my forehead and said the word fire? You know what God started? He started a multi-year process of burning my life, of burning away the chaff, of burning away everything that was keeping me from the single focus following Jesus. And that's it. Because at the end of this life, we're all going to face a judgment. There's literally going to be a judgment seat. Jesus is going to be on it, and this is toy serious, so hear this. You will stand before Him at the judgment, and you will have to give an account for your life of everything. Everything that you did or didn't do. So as followers of Jesus, as we believe in Him, the amazing thing is we're under His blood, right? We are under His blood. That is the only way to salvation. Otherwise, we'll be eternally separated from God at that judgment. And God will say, what did you do with your life? Like, did you doom scroll most of the days? Or like, did you just like watch Netflix like every weekend? Did you take family trips every weekend? Like, what were you doing for the gospel and the kingdom? Like, how did you go all in for Jesus and live for Him and Him alone? And if you're like, man, this is like crazy. This is like so much. This is why we exist as a church, enriched church, is to make disciples. We will train you how to do this and make it simple. We'll make it real simple. So fire, you got to ask God, pray for fire, like legit. Pray for fire. He will send fire on your life, and fire burns. It hurts, but He'll burn all the chaff away. And then ask for zeal. Zeal is that internal drive in your spirit that God gives you to live for Him, to reach other people for Jesus. If you get fire and zeal in you, you're unstoppable in the kingdom. Satan can't stop you. He's going to be crushed under your feet, because Romans 16 says the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. Jesus is King. So the deeper that you go with Jesus, the more you will lose your own life, but the more you will gain Jesus's life in you. And so at the end of the day, we all have a choice. Like, are we going to live for Jesus? Are we going to follow Him and deepen our commitment to Him and deepen our obedience to Him? Or are we going to go off and do our own thing? I can guarantee you, if you give up your life and you follow Him, He will give you more than you could ask, think, or imagine. It's going to be an amazing life. And you're going to learn, like, man, this is why I was created. Is to have this relationship with Jesus. Pretty much everybody, y'all can stay in your jobs. You don't need to leave your jobs. Stay in your jobs and make disciples. If you're like a full-time mom doing homeschool and stuff, do that. Make disciples. because there are people everywhere you're at that don't know Jesus. And our job is to build relationships, love on people, pray for them. Hey, can I tell you how Jesus changed my life? To share how Jesus changed your life? Say, would you like that too? Would you like to know Jesus the way I've come to know him and the way you could get to know him in the Word? So here's this. That was like pretty hardcore message. But this is literally the essence of the gospel. This is discipleship. This is following Jesus. And if you go all in for him, man, you're going to have like the best life you could ever have. It's going to be challenging. You're going to have challenges either way, whether you follow Jesus or not, right? Life's hard because we live in a broken world. We got mess. We got stuff coming our way this week that we're like, I don't know how I'm going to do it or what's going to happen. But Jesus, he will never fail you. He will always be with you no matter what happens. He's your best friend. He's your Lord. He's your Savior. He's your King. So based on what you heard in the Word today, as you were reading it, you heard me share from it, like, what do you want to do this week? How is your life going to be different? So literally write down, you can do it on your phone or on a piece of paper, write down how will you obey Jesus this week based upon what you studied in the Word or heard in the Word today. So take like 30 seconds and write down what are you going to do this week based upon what you heard in the Word. Hey, as we finish our time, George is going to share how Jesus has changed his life and give people the opportunity to believe in him for the first time. So George is going to share with us.
Yeah, George. Man.
Okay. Maybe just real quickly in a couple minutes. This is my story before Jesus and getting to know Jesus and then after. So before Jesus growing up, I grew up Catholic. I was raised going to church. I would just go along. Like my parents would take me. I kind of just, it is what it is. I didn't have control over what to believe or where to go. So I thought, all right, I'm just going with it. But I also, when I was a child, I had like some kind of like awareness of like there's like evil going on somehow. I couldn't really explain it, but like I just thought like I don't know, scary movies, there's something demonic about it. Like I couldn't put it into words, but I had some kind of understanding about that stuff. And even like Catholicism kind of creeped me out too back then. But growing up, eventually, like going through middle school, high school, things just got like hard, I guess, like with dealing with like mean people and like mean teachers, stuff going on, stuff at home. Yeah, so I saw that there's a lot of problems in the world, and just life is just not like ideal, like in cartoons or video games where everybody's always happy and they get through their problems and things work out. Like there's stuff, there's something that I was like missing, and because of that, that kind of like turned me away from God and kind of made me think like, okay, well, if all this bad stuff is going on, like maybe there's no God, and if there is a God, maybe he doesn't care about me, maybe he doesn't want to see me succeed, he doesn't want the best for me, otherwise he would just solve all my problems. But that wasn't the case. And then, and so I lived like atheist, agnostic, and then I just did kind of whatever I wanted to. I mean, I didn't really get into like drugs or anything crazy like some of my friends did, but I had all kinds of friends that had a lot of problems with like drug addiction and bad influences. And yeah, I mean, I tried to kind of fit in with them, trying to like maybe like smoke weed a little bit and stuff, but I quickly saw that was not for me. I had this kind of awareness of like something there's something bad, something evil going on. Like since I was a child, I knew that there was some kind of evil in the world, and I just couldn't explain it. I didn't know what the solution to all that stuff was. And so after my own sin, which, man, like sexual immorality and pornography, like the pursuit of romantic relationships, that kind of thing, that messed me up. And that brought me to a point where I was like, man, like life just sucks. Like it was just bad. And then eventually I got to the point where I was kind of willing to like, okay, like let me look into all these religions again, like a fresh perspective. So I looked into again, like Catholicism and Christianity. And I was like, nah, I don't really like Christianity. I don't want to give up my own stuff. I don't want to face my own sin. I don't want to deal with all that stuff. And then, so I looked into other religions, Buddhism, like Islam, the New Age thing, just kind of like picking and choosing different like belief systems and just doing my own thing and just living like that. And then after a while, just looking into things more, like I was like, I really started seeing like, man, like nothing really like works. And like things just kind of started pointing to Jesus. And eventually it was like, yeah, you know what? I'm actually, I'm willing to believe, and I want God to be real. I want Jesus to actually be real. And so, yeah, a friend of mine kind of, after many, many years of like being there for me in a time where like other people weren't and like, encouraging me with the gospel, eventually I believed and I went to a Bible study, and then after reading the Bible for myself, I thought like, whoa, like everything just makes sense. And it's like, and then I wanted to follow Jesus. And so since then, Jesus changed my life by giving me kind of like a, like taking that awareness of evil like even further and like seeing it into like other applications of life. Of like, I see the end of like the tunnel of like where materialism and like wealth, like if I chase that, where that's going to lead. Or if I chase like just fun all the time and just like, if like my friends that did do drugs, if I went down that path, I could see their end. And then even romantic relationships and like lust and like pornography and like sexual morality, I see where that leads also. And so Jesus has given me revelation in all those things. And as I've been reading the Bible and as I've been getting plugged into community and stuff and seeking God's will for my life, I'm still trying to figure out like exactly what that looks like. But I definitely see like a big transformation from then to now. And so at this point, I'm gonna, I guess, invite you guys, if you guys don't believe, if anybody doesn't believe and you would like to believe, I invite you to raise your hand, or if you're too shy for that, just close your eyes or even keep your eyes open. But maybe I'll just leave you in a quick prayer. So Lord God, I come before you and I recognize that I'm a sinner. I've messed up many, many things. I sin, and your kingdom is perfect, your heaven is perfect, and as much as I would like to enter in and say that I deserve it, I don't. Like not my best efforts. They can't get me there. And so Lord, I need you to save me from my bad habits, my sin, my failures, my anxieties and my troubles, Lord. I want to surrender these all to you, and I want to choose to believe in you this day that you are who you say you are. You are the God of the universe, the Father, Spirit, Son, the Jesus, that you died for my sins and for the sins of the whole world. And I thank you for dying for my sins, and that you've promised to give us eternal life by just believing in your name and turning from our sins. So Lord, change my life, and I commit myself to you to throw away my old ideas, my old plans for my own life. And Lord, remold my own vision for my life. Bring my will in line with yours. And so Lord, I want to make this decision right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thank you, George. Appreciate you sharing your Jesus story. Yeah. Another thing I like about Enrich, which is people, right, who come, is like they're just real. Like we all got life behind us, right now, and in front of us. And it's just cool how much Jesus has transformed George's life. So as we close our time, I invite you all to stand if you're able and willing. I'm going to pray over you, and then we'll have our prayer team available to you to pray. So Jesus, we're so grateful that we can gather this morning in your name. And Jesus, I pray that you would take the word that we studied today as your people, and you put it deep in our hearts. You give everybody here fire and zeal, that you, Jesus, would release your fire right now to burn away the chaff from our lives. And you give us a zeal to seek and save the lost and make disciples. So Jesus, I pray that you go before us this week and that you create divine appointments, those opportunities where you're going to put someone in front of us and you're like, I know I'm supposed to talk to this person and share you with them. So would you give us a greater awareness of the people you place in front of us? And would you release people of peace in our lives that are so hungry to know you, that are prepared by you, that will go and lead their family and friends and their network to you, Jesus, and disciple them? And Jesus, for people that are facing some stuff this week, they're like, man, I don't know how it's going to go, or like, this is going to be a hard conversation, or I got this thing going on. Jesus, I pray that you would be their pillar and that they would remain in you, Jesus, and you give them strength and stability, knowing that you're not going anywhere, but you're going to stand with them and walk with them every step of the way. And Father, I pray for those that are facing health dynamics, that you would bring health, that Jesus, you'd release your divine immunity into people's bodies right now, that you would heal sickness and disease out of people's bodies, you'd heal them and make them whole. Not only physically, but also in their soul, in their spirit. Jesus, that you bring holistic health to your people. And those, Jesus, that have financial need, I ask, Father, right now, in Jesus' name, that you'd release the finances of heaven to provide for their needs. Jesus, I ask your protection over everyone here, that you would, Jesus, keep them under your blood this week and place your shield and your sword around them, and that you assign a legion of angels to each person here. So, Jesus, we're excited about this week, because we know that you're going ahead of us and that you're with us and that you give us great purpose to live for you. So just we surrender ourselves to you and we say, here's our week. We're all in. In Jesus' name, amen.